Welcome back to Ask Uncle Lee. I remembered my hat today. Good stuff. We are on the ball. Okay, I have maybe 4 weeks of questions left. So if you do have questions, please drop them into the comments of one of the Ask Uncle Lee videos. Anything you have been pondering, any questions you would like my perspective on, so you can add to all the other perspectives you've gotten in order to make your own decisions about things, just drop them in the comments section, and I will add it to the list and go through. So I do go through it as they come through. I kind of go through the questions that way. No specific preference or any such things. But anyway, let's get into it. Let's do the intro first. Welcome to my channel. You are entering the world of magic and mysticism with your host, Lee W. Johnson. Keep the lights on and help improve the channel by becoming a supporter for just $2.99 per month. Hit the join button. Okay, so the first question is from PurpleWurch647, and I know you've been waiting for this one for weeks now. You've been dying to get an answer to this question. All right. Good evening, Uncle Lee. I would like to ask you a question. Can we work with both a demon and an angel or archangel, especially when the two came to meet me, or is that impossible? Thank you very much for your response and your channel, which is incredible. Yes, you can, absolutely. There is no reason why you cannot work with what we would call a demon and what we would call an angel. When we talk about demonic entities, demonic forces, we are talking about entities which are more inclined to be terrestrial or chthonic, which means they are either earth-based or underworldly. So very much closer to what we may want to call the earth realm or the middle world, or closer to our own personal connections as we know things. When we talk about angelic beings, we are talking about more celestial. They are two very different entities. Their approach is very different. Their energy is very different. They feel very different. They probably look very different. It doesn't mean that they cannot work together. In fact, you could actually pair a chthonic or a terrestrial entity with a celestial entity. And bring some force, bringing these two forces together can actually create a particular balance within something. That you would need to obviously experiment with, and you would need to do it very carefully, because if you bring two forces together which are not suited, you could end up with quite a big explosion. Think of chemistry. That's something which you might want to experiment with much later on. If you have had an angel or an archangel, even if you look between angelic forces and archangelic forces, those are also very different energies, very different entities. Depending on who it is, work with them. I would suggest working with them separately. But there's no reason why they cannot come together. But start with them separately so that you get to know their energies. Speak with them. Ask them each, can you work with this other entity? Can I bring you into the same space? And if the answer is yes, then do it. But do it tentatively, do it slowly, do it experimentally. Remember to record everything. This is about testing. It's about experimentation. Do things in an experimental fashion. Make sure you record everything as you're doing it, and take that approach. But there is absolutely no reason. And I, we may be thinking that, oh, one's an angel, one's a demon, therefore they're not going to come together. But there's absolutely no reason to think that. And I am saying that maybe they are two completely different forces you cannot bring together because it would cause an explosive reaction. But it doesn't. That's not because one's angelic or celestial and one's terrestrial. It's just simply two different forces. You can take two terrestrial forces and they won't mix together. You know, you can take two elements. Take fire and water. You know, you bring fire close to water, either water's going to quench the fire or fire's going to consume the water. So, you know, it doesn't matter what the energies, what the entities actually are. Make sure they work together, all right? But yes, they're absolutely, they can. There's no reason, you know, I think a lot of people working with demons, and I don't want to say demonolaters, because if you're a demonolater, you know, the understanding of the word daemon is a divine intelligence, and a divine intelligence is many things, including angels. Many demonologists will work with the Enochian keys, the Enochian angels themselves, and they're very tentative. They are very tricky to work with, extremely tricky, the Enochian spirits themselves. But, you know, I think a lot of people on this particular path have still got that kind of Christian ideology that angels are good and demons are bad, and therefore you cannot bring them together. That's not the case at all. Neither are good, neither are bad. They're just entities which have different types of energies. They exist in different areas of our cosmology. But it doesn't mean that they cannot work together. Okay, so I think that answers the question. All right, that was that one. Let's go on to this one. Channel 1 PZN. It's better to do own demon sigil or summon for summoning or get from grimoire. It is kind of better to get your own sigil, but in order to do that, you need to get it from the spirit, usually. That's the usual approach, is contact the spirit, speak to the spirit, make sure it is the spirit. So you're going to test the spirit until you know it is the spirit that you actually want to work with. And then you ask it for a personal sigil, and you use that sigil going forward. Because then you don't need to keep doing the rigorous testing every time you meet the spirit to make sure it is the spirit. You can just, you know, it could be a sigil, it could be a name, it could be a phrase, it could be something, an N even, that the spirit gives you, and it's a personal thing to you, that only you and the spirit share. So when you meet the spirit again, it's, you know, you can test the spirit by saying, give me the phrase, give me your name, which is the name that it gave you, which is very personal to you and the spirit and nobody else. So it's kind of like almost like a password or a passphrase or a pass sigil, we could say. But when you are, before you actually meet the spirit, you know, you're going to want to, if you work with sigils, not everybody works with sigils. It's not necessary to work with sigils. It's not necessary to work with ends. You know, but you do kind of need some identification to begin with, and these are good things. A name, an N, and a sigil. You know, they're kind of like the things that we the go-tos, really, in order to get in contact with a particular spirit. So, but yeah, the ones from the grimoires are absolutely perfectly fine. It's not really about, you know, which one is better, which one is more powerful, which one is stronger. Those kind of things, not really part of or shouldn't be part of magic anyway. It's not about what is better and what is more potent, what is more powerful. It's about what works better for you. If you do a particular thing and one person finds that doing it this way is, you know, so potent for them, and you try it and doesn't do anything, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the magic, it just means that that's not the way you should be doing it, so you find your own way to do it. So, you know, Is it better? It's neither better nor not better. It's just what works. I mean, a lot of people are, most of the spirits I work with, I don't have personal names or sigils or anything like that from them. I do know them when I go and talk to them. I have my own particular ways of knowing them. It usually has to do with frequency and vibration. I work with, if I work with a sigil, I will work with something from the Dukant or the, one of the grimoires. So there's no reason you need to actually have your own personal sigil for the demons, but it's a good way to do it. Yeah, so, all right. Going on to next question. That was that one. Let's go on to this one. Oral sensations. Thank you for answering the questions. I'm honored. It's a pleasure. I do have a question in conjunction with gate opening. When using gates to call or invite the energy spirits in, is it better to send them back after working or simply thank them and leave it to free will when gates are then closed? What is your take on this? Okay, there is a second question, so we'll do this one first. If you are opening a gate, when you are finished the working, you close the gate. There is no two ways about it. You do not leave a gate open. This is how astral parasites and entities that we don't want coming through can so easily come through. I mean, it's almost like you've created a rip and it's flapping open and it's bright because there's this other world on the other side. So all these astral parasites are going to come flocking towards the light type of thing. So it's always, if you're working, if you're doing this form of gate opening where you are ripping, creating a rip in space and time, so to speak, and you are opening a gate to allow these raw energies to flow through instead of the muted energies that we usually work with, you usually work with some kind of gatekeeper to make sure that they are, what you want comes through and what you don't want does not come through. So you have to work with a gatekeeper, make sure you've got that. And then after you've done the working, you close that gate. You do not leave it open. If you want to work with the energies going forward, after you finish the working, you close the gate. If you want to continue working with that energy, then what you can do is ask the entity to put the energy into something. It can be a talisman. And then you can continue to work on with that energy. Obviously, that energy over time is going to dissipate. Although I was reading, I'm trying to remember who it was now. I can't remember. I was reading specifically about materials used for talismans. If you use paper, the energy tends to die very quickly or dissipate very quickly. It may take a couple of months, for instance. But if you're using something like stone, crystals, metals, and such things like that, those types of talismans can the energy stays in them for years. Work specifically with that energy with talismans. So it's something you might want to consider. But over time it's going to dissipate. It's going to go away. So, you keep checking what flow of energy you're getting and stuff like that. And if you need to recharge it, then go and open the gate again and ask the energy to recharge it, but then again close the gate. So every time you've opened a gate, you close it after, directly straight after the working you've done, the main working, you close it and you continue with your everyday life. It's really as simple as that. Open it, close it. You don't leave it open. Do not leave gates open. This actually reminds me of the movie, was it Insidious? The fourth one came out quite recently, last year sometime. And if you watch all four together, you kind of get the story back to back, because it kind of does a whole circle where the old lady medium, she's walking through the, what'd she call it? It wasn't the netherworld. I should have checked on this before I did this video. Anyway, I think you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's the medium who's this old lady, and she dies at some point. But then in the fourth one, it goes back into the past. And at some point, anyway, she leaves a door open. And she doesn't close it. And then right at the end of the fourth one, she's like, oh, no, it's back, and what have you. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you stupid woman, you left a bloody door open. So after you open a door, make sure you close it. All right, so the second part of the question also came to mind while watching the video. In terms of knowing when to move on from a spirit you're working with, how can you tell if it's time to move on or stop? I guess the most obvious answer is intuition. However, in context, I've been working with one spirit deity, and while initial workings had been very powerful, recently the energies have been rather fading in comparison. What would be your advice? Is it time to move on? It could be. There's a few things we could consider here. You know, we sometimes talk about having a matron or a patron. Yeah, the spirits don't have a patron. I do, but the spirits don't. All right, so let me start that again. So we talk about sometimes having a matron or a patron. And then we talk about working with all of the other spirits. So the matron or the patron is kind of like that lifetime, that spirit that kind of stays with you for your lifetime, and multiple lifetimes quite often, and is there to kind of guide you, to help you along. I believe that in most cases, if not all, this is actually your holy guardian angel, and it's not actually a spirit that we have, you know, like Paimon or Belial or Lucifer or whatever it is. But it could be. I mean, that's just one way of looking at things, and everybody has their own reality. You know, if we were all in the same room, we would all be in different rooms, but in the same room at the same time. Anyway, so where was I? Yeah, so we have the matron or patron, which is kind of like this spirit which stays with you during your whole life or multiple lifetimes and kind of guides you and just pushes you in certain directions. Then we have all of these other spirits that we work with, and they come in and they go. They come in and they go, and they come in and they go. They come in to teach you a lesson, or to guide you on something, or to aid you with a particular thing. And then when that job's finished, they move on. You know, they go. And they may come back a bit later to give you another lesson, whatever it is. But they keep coming in and leaving, keep coming in and leaving. Very much like you might expect spirit animals to, you know, come into your life for a short period of time and then leave. Same kind of thing, you know, give you a message, teach you something, aid you in some work you're doing, whatever it is, whatever it may be. So it could be, if you're working with one specific deity, it could be that deity has now completed its task. The lesson's finished and you need to move on to the next lesson. We could look at this in terms of particular initiative periods. You know, we get initiated into a period of our life. Initiation is literally beginning. So it's a new door that opens. And when you walk through that door, a new spirit might introduce itself to you, and will continue with you on your journey during that particular process until you go on through the next door, through the next initiation. So you may have a particular spirit that is walking through you on that journey, and then you walk through the next door and another spirit comes along and takes you through that part of the journey. So there's many, many ways we could look at this. There was something else that occurred to me while I was reading the question. The energy is fading away. It could really be that it's just that lesson, that spirit's now gone. You're still in contact with it, obviously, because energy does take a long time to dissipate. If you were to hold a coin in your hand and hold it there for a while, it's going to take on your body heat, If you then release it onto a cold surface, it doesn't become cold immediately. It takes a period of time for that, for the heat in that coin to be released and for that coin to take on the temperature of that cold surface. So it's not like it, you know, it dissipates, the energy dissipates immediately. It's not like it's break. So although the lesson's finished and everything else and the spirit has moved on, the energy's still there. You can still talk to it. You can still communicate with it, which is probably why you're not feeling the energy as strongly as you may have previously. It could be that you're going through a plateau period. You've been given all this knowledge. You've been making all this progress in your working. You know, you've been practicing and practicing and making all this progress. Now you're just in this plateau period because you need to assimilate all of that knowledge. You need to assimilate all of that progress. And you may take a couple steps back because you need to. But, you know, allow that process to happen. And then when once you're through it, see what takes you forward again. See if it's the same spirit. Maybe that spirit's just stepping back for a while so you can go through this phase, this period. And then we'll come back again when you're ready to move on again. So as I said, there are many, many ways to look at this. And I think I'm going to leave that one there. All right, so we'll go on to, I'm going to leave it here today. And we'll carry on with questions next week. As I said, I might start running out of questions, so if you do have questions, please remember to put them in the comments below. And I'll add them to the list. Okay. All right. Have a good one. And I'll see you next week. And hopefully I'll remember my hat again. Okay. Cheers. Bye-bye.